Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. CME Group aims to win shareholder approval today to half the number of board members who represent Chicago Mercantile Exchange users. Company executives are expected to face questions from investors about the proposal at the annual meeting in Chicago. At least three directors, three candidates for CME's board, and five former board members have publicly opposed the plan. The directors, known as B shareholder representatives, are often linked with traders who built their careers in open outcry pits. Their influence has waned due to the rise of electronic trading, with about 86% of CME's business executed electronically, up from less than 15% in 2000. If approved, the reduction will take effect next year. Tyson Foods President and CEO Donnie Smith told investors yesterday that protein is likely to continue taking a more prominent role in people's diets. And Steve Stauffer, president of Tyson Fresh Meat, said protein supplies will remain tight through the summer grilling season as a result of constrained chicken breeding stock, a virus in the hog population, and drought that has reduced grazing pasture for cattle. Smith and Stauffer spoke at the annual BMO Capital Markets Conference yesterday in New York. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 16,479, it's up 105 points. The NASDAQ 4120 is up 23. The S&P 500 is 1883, and it is up 10 and a quarter points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest is going to be seeing some favorable weather over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. I really can't find much fault in the weather pattern at the moment. There's going to be timely rain for almost all areas, and it looks as though temperatures are going to be warm enough to stimulate some aggressive crop development and quick seed germination for those areas that have more recently planted. The biggest area of concern might remain in the upper parts of the Midwest, where there's still just a little bit too much moisture in the ground and expected to fall over the next week or so, and that will likely keep field work a bit sluggish and raise some concern about the bottom line overall. But that's probably one of the few areas of concern. There's a few pockets that might be a little drier biased in some of the southwestern Corn Belt as well that need to be watched, and it looks like as we go forward through the next full week, we may see some drying conditions occur aggressively across the lower Mississippi River Basin area, or in other words, the Delta, and into parts of the southeastern states. These areas will see 80 and 90 degree high temperatures on a daily basis, and that will help to accelerate the drying rate as rainfall remains minimal across those areas. For the heart of the U.S. Midwest, though, we do expect the pattern to be quite favorable. We'll see temperatures running in the upper 70s and 80s during a big part of the coming week. I don't see much reason for concern about the drying bias right now, since there is still quite an effort going on to get the remaining crops in the ground for the spring. An aggressive attack on the planting of soybeans will likely continue, as well as sorghum. And, of course, we still have some late corn that's going into the ground across various areas. The weather pattern in this coming week will be somewhat restricted on precipitation, but not necessarily completely dry. We did pick up on some shower activity yesterday across the areas from Iowa into parts of Ohio and Michigan. and the rain was quite varied. We will see some additional showers occurring in the same area, only a little bit further to the south as we go through the day today. The precipitation will probably be more focused on areas from central Illinois into Ohio, and we may see it reach down into parts of the southern sections of these states as we get into the evening hours and maybe overnight tonight. Some of the rainfall will be maybe moderate in intensity. We may see a few areas pick up on a half inch to an inch, but I don't think it's going to be very common, and we'll continue to monitor that. But that's the only disruption to the overall drying bias that will occur in the Midwest for a while here. We do expect showers to also occur out in the central plains, and of course the plains is what everybody has been focused on here recently. A hard red winter wheat country is still expected to see a generalized rain event occurring over the next several days. Some showers will occur today. They won't be very well organized. They'll favor Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado. And then as we go further out in time, we'll see the High Plains region becoming most favored for thunderstorms beginning tomorrow and increasing as we go from Friday through Monday. In fact, Friday through Monday is when the bulk of the heavier rains will impact hard red winter wheat country, and some 1 to 3 inch amounts will occur with locally greater totals in the southern plains in Texas and Oklahoma primarily, and rain totals across the rest of wheat country will probably run 3/4 of an inch to 1 3/4 inches, except in northwestern areas where there might not be nearly that much rain. The northern U.S. plains is still a concern as well. They will see an increased frequency of rainfall after the end of this week. The next 2 to 3 days will be the last opportunity for extended good drying conditions and warm temperatures across some of the eastern spring wheat areas, which have had so much trouble getting fieldwork accomplished. And in addition to that, we will still see most of the Midwest have a wetter bias in the second week of the two-week forecast. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Hard winter July wheat trading 770.5 up 2 1/4. Soft July 674.25 up 3 3/4. July corn 471.5 up 1. September 472.75 up 1/2. December 472.5 up 1/2. July soybeans 1480.75 up 11. November 1238.75 up 6.5. July soybean meal 491.50 up 480. July soybean oil 39.98 down 9. June live cattle 138.72.5 down 2.5. May feeders 189.30 up 25. And June lean hogs are 119.52.5. And they're up 92.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
So the quandary that everybody's trying to figure out is what kind of yield to put on this crop. Do we put on a yield that is USDA's February forum yield, which is a very optimistic and strong yield? Do we begin to back that off some, given ideas that it hasn't been, and I'm doing the air quote thing, a perfect planting season? Or do we accept the fact that the northern tier of states are not likely to get all their crops in, and they are the areas that yield the least, and so maybe the yield will be stronger?
Well, to begin with, I think one of the things agronomically, we typically make the assumption that corn's got its best yield potential in the bag. And once you've got it in the ground, Mother Nature starts to basically nitpick that and start dialing back yield. We've got some conditions, and talking with Chuck last night, they're making some observations that the crop hasn't gone in this year in perfectly ideal conditions. We've had some cool weather stress, we've had some additional moisture stress, and as you mentioned, the guys up north are still continuing to experience that. So realistically, I wouldn't really numerically dial down the yield aggressively, but in-house we've basically assumed probably about a 2 to 3 bushel less national average yield than the USDA, and that basically pencils out. When you take a bushel off, it takes off about 100,000 bushels or 100 million bushels off the bottom line.
So 300 million bushels off something that was, what, 1.7, 1.8?
Yeah, 1.7, yep.
Yeah.
So that gives you about, a sub 1.5, which probably makes the market more sensitive to weather issues as you enter the summer months. But right this minute, there's probably not much sense of urgency. On that note, going into a three-day weekend, these value levels, or even if we had to see a 5-cent drop from here, is probably going to hold ahead of the three-day weekend. But if we come in off the three-day weekend and everything looks hunky-dory and the weather's warming up, we could see the prices erode a little bit more and maybe check that 450 level out before too long.
Yeah, I was thinking 466 ought to hold into the weekend, but then after that, it is a drop down to 434.
Textbook.
Okay, what about on the soybean side, which yesterday found some extreme enthusiasm in the November contract?
Yes, we've seen some enthusiasm for the new crop because we haven't really got much planted. I think realistically, we've got to watch the old crop value levels. We're holding in that sub-$14, $15 levels, but I'm not taking daily reversals at face value. I usually step back and look at the weekly charts for a better perspective. And right now, the weekly charts and beans still look reasonably good.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's go ahead and catch you up on the current trade. July corn, 474 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. Remember, these are real-time numbers. September, 472 and three quarters, up 1/2. December, 473, up 1. July soybeans, 1482 and three quarters, up 13, now 13 1/4. November, 1239 and a quarter, up 7. July soybean meal, 492, now 493 even, up 630. July soybean oil is 40 even, down 7 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.